And we are going to begin our morning session of the Your Story campaign. We're going to start with the reason we do this. Jesus gave us a command in the Bible. If you're taking notes, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And here the Lord commanded us, and he said, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you.'" Aside from believing, obedience is the key principle that is attached to the gospel. Obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ are the thing that tell this world, it tells them we are followers of Christ. Because when they see us, they should see Him. We are His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouth, we're His heart. So when we go out, we represent the Lord. Before we represent the World Harvest Community Center, when we're out there, we represent the Lord. And our lifestyle matters. Our testimony. That means that if you were in the club on Friday, don't go out to evangelize on Saturday. Because somebody may be walking by and say, "Didn't I see you at the club yesterday?" I always say that salvation is a process and not an event. It's something that God works out over time in our life. When we go out there and we evangelize, and when somebody accepts the Lord, that's just a seed. It's just a seed. That means that that seed now has to grow. It has to be nurtured. It has to be given all of the elements that a regular seed would need. Everything, sun, light, water. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Holy Spirit represents water in the Bible. And when we apply those things to the seed, it's able to grow. And it's a process.
It's a process.
It's a process that happens over many, many years. I'm going to say this, that the process will last the amount of time it will take the person to surrender. The person could surrender in 6 months and be on fire for the Lord, and God could raise them up and use them. Or the person could be walking with the Lord for 20 years and they don't yield to what God is trying to do in their heart. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a commandment to be obeyed. There is shocking statistics that prove that most people are not sharing their faith. It's been statistically proven that nearly 85% of all Americans who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13. Those of you who have small children, they say that by the age of 13, they will decide if they're going to believe in God or not. And I'm telling you that if you have small children, before you go out there, start at home. Make sure that you are evangelizing your children. Make sure that you're breaking down the gospel to them in a way they will understand it. So that when they come to the age of 13 years old, and nothing will shake them. 8% of Americans are saved after the age of 50. That's a very low statistic. After a certain time, there's a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. People are set in the way they are. 95% of people in church have never led anyone to Christ. That is a very small ratio. That's 5% in any given church. You see, the mindset in most churches is, this is the job of the evangelist. This is the job of the people called to evangelism. That's their job. And this group of people feel, I have no personal responsibility in sharing my faith. But the commandment that God gave us was not for the evangelist. It's for everybody. It's for the church. We all have a responsibility to share our faith. I'm just curious, out of show of hands, how many people have an unsaved loved one, a coworker, or a neighbor? Every hand in this room should be up. Because we all have somebody, a neighbor, a co-worker, somebody who doesn't know about Jesus. And that's what I say the understanding is. When we don't all raise our hand, it's because we don't understand. We all have that burden to share this. Why are most believers not sharing their faith? I want you to turn to your Bible. Psalm 37, verse 4. The Bible says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart." We have to delight ourselves in the Lord. That's the commandment that God has given us. You see, the word delight, I'm going to give you the definition of the word delight. A high degree of gratification or pleasure or joy. Something that someone provides
Something or someone that provides a source of happiness. And I want to challenge you today. Are you delighting in the Lord so much that you are abounding in the joy of the Lord? That when somebody sees you, they see something that they don't have, that they see the happiness that comes from being in Christ? You know, I have a funny story. One time, me and my wife were at a restaurant, and we found this one particular restaurant. It was a Colombian restaurant. And this particular restaurant, we loved the food so much. And we went to this restaurant, and we started going regularly to the restaurant. And we eventually started telling our friends about the restaurant. We told our family members about the restaurant. I told my coworkers about the restaurant. I told my neighbor, you gotta go to this restaurant. The food in this place is delicious. And the reason that I was sharing so much about this restaurant was because I had delighted in the restaurant. I had delighted in so much of what I got from the restaurant that I just needed to tell other people about what I had gotten from this restaurant. Is that where you are with the Lord? Where you are so connected and so deep and so in with God? Are you delighting Him so much that you just can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus? That you can't wait to tell somebody about the peace He's giving you? That's where we have to get to. As a church and as individual followers in Christ, the reality is that we talk about what we love. If the Super Bowl is on, everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. If we have a baseball game happening, everybody's talking about the baseball game. If people are into, you know, Dancing with the Stars or whatever you like to watch, you're sharing with people about those things. When you love something, you talk about it. Talking about what you love is the evidence that you are delighting yourself in it. The evangelist Robert Munger said, evangelism is the spontaneous overflow of a glad and free heart in Jesus Christ. You see, we can't share unless it's from the overflow. If you find that every Sunday you're coming to church and you're coming empty, waiting for somebody to pump you up, waiting for someone to be your cheerleader, then you are not living in a state of overflow. Because you need to make sure that you're getting spiritually fed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Every day, you need to make sure that you are getting spiritually fed through the Word of God and in prayer. You see, when we pray, we talk to God. When we read the Word of God, God talks to us. And that's the cycle of the relationship. And then as we get more into the Word, fill ourselves up. The Bible says that out of the good things stored up in a man, God is able to draw from that. And God, He wants to get us to a level where we are walking in that state of overflow. Because in that state of overflow, when we're on the bus and the Spirit prompts us, you will speak to a total stranger about Jesus. The Spirit will let you know when's the moment. If you could turn in your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 4 through 42. I'm giving you the verses for your notes. And I encourage you, listen, whenever you are listening to any preacher, I learned this from the apostle, take notes carefully of what they say. And then you take what they say and you take it home and you compare it to this word. And you make sure that everything that is preached and everything that is shared aligns perfectly with the word of God. Don't ever just take things at face value. John chapter 4, verse 4 through 42. This is the story of the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman who had come to a well where Jesus was. And Jesus was sitting at the well waiting for the disciples to come back with food that they had gone to get. The woman came to the well and Jesus asked her, "Will you give me a cup of water?" See, He was engaging her. It's not easy to engage. It's probably easy to engage strangers than it is our family members. Because the stranger doesn't really know us. And they know the old version of us. And they used to go clubbing and maybe drank. And so sometimes they don't see who we are now in Christ. But Jesus engaged the woman. And He told her, "Give me a cup of water." And she said to Him, and she was very surprised that He was talking to her in the first place. You see, the Samaritans had no relationship with the Jews. She was very surprised that He would speak with her in the first place. And Jesus told her, "If you only knew who was talking to you, you would ask and I would give you living water." And she said, I want this living water. And then He went on to open her mail. He opened up her mail. He started to tell her about her life. He told her, "Go and get your husband and come back." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And she said, He told her, "Yes, you've answered correctly. And the man you have now is not your husband." So basically, she was in adultery.
It wasn't her husband, meaning that he was somebody's husband.
She got nervous and she changed the subject. From that point, she put down her pot. The Bible says that immediately she put down her pot and she began to tell everyone about what had happened. She said, you have to come and meet a man who told me everything about myself. She told him, and she told her, and she told him, and she told him, and her, and him. And the Bible says that as because of the witness of this one woman, and I want to just emphasize something. One of the greatest inhibitions of people sharing their faith is them thinking they're not worthy enough to share about Jesus. Who am I to share about the Lord? I'm still dealing with this. God knows I still have this in my life. But she was a woman who was in adultery, and God changed her life. And she left that lifestyle, and she became the first evangelist in the Bible. Telling them your story does not mean that you talk about you. Telling them your story means that you tell them about what Jesus did in your life. The emphasis is on how he impacted your life and what he can do in their life also. The Samaritan woman directed the people back to Christ. She said, come and you have to meet a man who told me everything about myself. She shared her story and the entire town came out to hear Jesus and the entire town was saved. Say, there's power in my story. There's power in my story. You may not be perfect, may not be where you want to be in God yet. It's a process, remember? You're getting there. But the important thing is that you're heading in that direction. That you're letting God deal with those issues in your life. Don't ever allow anything to keep you about sharing about your Lord. What are some of the reasons that people are not witnessing today? They personally have doubts about the message of the good news of God. They don't really believe. They come to church, they read their Bible, pray, they sing the songs. But when it comes to standing as a witness for Christ, they shrink back. They get embarrassed. And I recently, over the last couple of days, we had a funeral. And I was asked to share at the funeral. And I was able to share with my family members about Christ. And I remember talking to one of my family members. And I had shared that I was going to share about Jesus. And the person knows the Lord. And the person told me, well, don't get all crazy now, you know, just, you know, keep it short. You know? Yeah. You see, we have to understand, we can't be ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God that leads unto salvation. It's the power of God. The message of Jesus is the power of God. And we have to never be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Some believe errors, and they believe the reason that they don't share is because they believe, you know what, all the roads will eventually lead to heaven anyway. The Bible says there is one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man comes to me, to the Father, unless by me. Jesus is the door that every human being on this earth will have to walk through to get to heaven and to access God. And every other road, every other religion, every other thought of life, it leads to a dead end. There is one door. And that's something that you have to resolve in yourself. That when you're sharing with someone, you have their salvation. Imagine if they were drowning in the ocean. You are the one that has the life preserver that they need. You could save them with what you share. And we need to begin to have a sense of responsibility and weight. That we have a responsibility to share the gospel with them. And I tell you today, God will hold each one of us responsible. He's going to hold us responsible for that time you were standing next to that person and the Holy Spirit said, talk to them about Jesus. And you didn't. That time when your family member was on their deathbed and you felt in your heart to share with them, but you didn't. God is going to one day say, what did you do with what I gave you? There's a parable in the Bible called the parable of the talents. And each one was to go out and multiply their talents. You see, that's our... We are the body of Christ. The way that the kingdom of God expands on the earth is when his body grows. So when I share with him, he gets saved, and he shares with her, and she gets saved, and then she shares with him, and he gets saved. And each one of these represent a household, and there's a lineage that falls into line, children and generations that are lined up there. Some believe that it is not their job, that someone else will do the job. They walk by a homeless man, and they say in their heart, you know what, Brother Joel will deal with that. We all have a responsibility to be a representation of Christ on the earth, to show the love of God. Some of us don't share Because we've lost our first love for God. That's not representing any of you here, because you're here. There should be more people here. How did Jesus share his faith? If we want to analyze, Jesus always spoke about the kingdom and the benefits of the kingdom. Jesus always made his emphasis. This life that we live here, he always was very clear about it. He would say, don't store up treasures here. He said, store up your treasures in heaven. Jesus was accepting of everyone. That doesn't mean that we tolerate sin. We love the sinner, but we reject the sin. But we need to learn how to differentiate those two things. That means that if someone comes in who is bound by drugs, or an alcoholic, or someone who's homeless, we're going to put them in the back of the church. Because you know what? We have to show the same love for them that we would anyone else in the church. There was a story of a pastor who was the new senior pastor of a congregation. Yeah. And this pastor, had a really big beard, kind of like Barry. And what he did was he put dirt on his face. He put on dirty clothes. And he came in on a Sunday morning to the church that he was going to be installed as the new pastor of that church. And he wanted to see the heart of the people that he was going to be shepherding. And when he entered in through the doors of the church, he said he was given very, like, not nice looks. And then they made the announcement. We're going to bring up to the pulpit now the new pastor of our church. And this homeless man stood up from behind the back of the church and walked down the aisle and went right up to the pulpit and grabbed the mic. And he said, God bless you, everyone. And he went on to share his experience at coming into the church. When we're out in the street evangelizing, we're the first picture that people get of Christ. That means if somebody is nasty to you in the street, we need to hold our peace. We shouldn't. The Bible says, Jesus said that if they strike you on the left, turn them the right as well. We need to humble ourselves. I heard an evangelist sharing a story. And this evangelist was someone who was in a homosexual lifestyle. And God took him out of that lifestyle. And now he's an evangelist ministry in San Francisco. And he shared a story. He said that he was witnessing to a gentleman about the homosexual lifestyle and speaking into his life. And the man got so angry at him that the man spit at his face. And he said that his reaction immediately was to just ignore it and keep on preaching. He actually had the saliva hanging from his ear like an earring. So he had it there and he just kept talking to this man about the love of Jesus and how Jesus loved him. And the man felt such conviction at the fact that he didn't react to that he actually asked him to forgive him. And he said he was actually able to pray for the man. You gotta understand that we need to be bigger. Our love needs to be greater than the hate that's out there. Our patience needs to be greater than the restlessness that's out there. And this is why spending time with the Lord is so important. Because you will never be able to give out there what you don't have. If your cup is not overflowing, if you're driving in the car and you lose your temper and somebody cuts you off and you're like, I'm going to get him. You know, if somebody, you know, bumps into you, you know, and says like, you know, it's nasty to you on the train or something. If you're losing it there, you're going to lose it out there too. And you have to know your temperament. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go. We need a lot of people to help us carry stuff. So. No, I'm just kidding. No, you should definitely go.
Yeah,
but it's a process. How did the disciples share with their family? Our family members are the most difficult people to witness to. Most people avoid talking to their family altogether. They just, oh, you know what? Somebody else will. God, send someone to talk to my family about the gospel, Lord. How many have prayed that prayer?
Amen.
How many have prayed? Be honest. Send someone else, Lord. Listen, a light, if you look at the light, a light doesn't say anything, it just shines. God has called us to be the light of the world. And all we have to do is shine. Our example, that when we react the right ways, when you get cut off in the car, when you get that ticket, when you come to the car, when you stub your toe, what's coming out of your mouth? What are your kids hearing? When you're fighting with your wife, words coming out that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. People are watching. Children are watching. And they're taking notes. And they will do what you do and not what you say. In the Bible, in John chapter 1, verse 40 and 42, here we have Andrew was the first disciple to get saved. And the Bible says that Andrew, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. The most important thing about sharing with your family, talk to them about Jesus. Be sincere with them. Make sure you believe what you're sharing and believe the message of the gospel and be able to explain what is the message of the gospel. Who here can explain the message of the gospel? Raise your hand if I ask you to come up and you just in a nutshell, tell me what is the message of the cross, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need a volunteer. Anybody. Okay. If right now you're speaking to somebody and you have to share with them the gospel. Nobody? Come here, Vicky. All right. What is the message of the good news of the gospel? What is the good news of the gospel?
Christ is life. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the one that came and paid the price on Calvary. He rose from the dead. He's coming back as a lion.
And that's the message of the cross. The message of the gospel is not complicated. The world fell into sin. Jesus paid the price that we could not pay. There was a price that had to be paid for sin. And that price was a life that had to be given. It was blood that had to be shed to pay the price for that sin, to cover it. And Jesus became our sacrifice. We were supposed to be the ones that were on that cross. But Jesus stepped in and he said, "I'll take your place and I'm going to be on the cross for you." And he died a horrible death. And he paid a price for something he did not do. He paid the price so that I would be set free. And now through what he did, he made a way for us to have access to back to God. The tree that we lost in the Garden of Eden, Jesus said, "I am the tree of life." We lost Christ when we lost the garden. And we got him back through his sacrifice. And we have now access to come back to have fellowship with God in eternity and also here. And that's the gospel. It's salvation. It's eternal life. It's to be made new, to be born again, to have a new beginning. And it's important that we need to be able to explain that. If you could turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verse 30. I'm actually going to read the passage here, starting in verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard that the man was reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked him." This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so did he not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. They both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip was baptized by him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Assos and traveled about preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea." Two key things that I want to point out about this verse is verse 26 that says, "And now the angel of the Lord said to Philip," and verse 29 that says, "The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.'"
Y otro, el versículo 29, el Espíritu dijo a Felipe, "Acércate y júntate a ese carro."
We need to be sensitive when God leads us, because God will speak to us about who to share with. Whether you're on the bus, in the supermarket, in the post office, and the Holy Spirit will direct you who to speak to. We need to have a sensitivity in the Spirit to be able to act when the Spirit tells us to act. And this is why it is so important to be a student of the Word of God. Because Philip was able to sit with this Ethiopian, and he was able to explain what he was reading. This is why the study of the Word of God is vital. There are things that are vital in evangelism. Knowledge of the Scriptures and a life of prayer. If you have those two things, you will be an effective soul winner. You will be able to explain to people about the gospel and teach them what Jesus said in the beginning of all this. Jesus said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this teaching session, Lord God. Father, we pray that everything that we have heard this morning, Father, that you would allow us to internalize it, and more than internalize it, begin to apply it. Father, that we would commit ourselves to begin to be winners of souls, that we would break out of the mindset of coming to church on Sunday morning just to hear a message for myself, but that we would understand that there is a world out there, that it is our responsibility to bring them to Jesus. And it's not just giving them a track. It's not just inviting them and say, here's the address to my church. When Andrew spoke to his brother, he physically brought him to Jesus. When the Samaritan woman went into the town, she told them about Jesus. She physically brought them to Jesus. And we have a responsibility to physically bring people to the house of God to hear the message of the gospel. Father, I pray for boldness over every person that is here today. Father, that they would be able to share their faith regardless of where they are in their walk with you right now. That they would just share their story and what you are doing and what you have already taken them out from. That they would not focus on the part that you're still working with us. But that they would focus on what you have already done. And that your story will bring glory and will save somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.